For Philippians, beginning a new series of messages. We have the Word of God that tells us how to have a healthy church. We have the most accurate instruction manual that there is, the Bible. I'm going to preach a series of how-to sermons on the church in the next few weeks. Some of the titles are, like today, how to have a healthy church. Others are how to develop spiritual intimacy, how to keep our focus on the gospel, how to thrive in adversity, how to maintain unity in the church, how to exalt Jesus as Lord, how to light up the darkness, how to make yourself useful. These are just a few of the how-to sermons. And we use God's instrument, the Bible, His instruction manual, to teach us how to in all of these situations. One of the goals is to examine who we are at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church and seek to determine just how healthy we are as a congregation. The one desire every one of us should have is that this be a healthy church. Healthy churches are marked by healthy relationships. Healthy relationships among the members and between the members and their leaders. We need to understand that a healthy church, or any church, is a relational network. We are sheep in a fold. We are branches on a vine, members of a family. So we must learn to live and work together. The quality of a church is greatly determined by the quality of our interpersonal relationships, not only with one another, but also with Almighty God. That especially, if we don't have the right relationship with God and the world, are we going to function properly as a body of believers? It takes healthy congregation to fulfill the God-ordained mission He has called us to. You know, we are facing a tremendous challenge this year between now and May the 20th is to seek refinancing for the loans on this building. How in the world are we going to be able to do it? It's going to require a healthy congregation as we face this challenge. We need to respond by being faithful, by praying like we've never prayed before, by giving sacrificially, by worshiping faithfully in worship and in Sunday school, studying the Word of God, if we're going to be succeed. How in the world can we do it? How can we be a healthy congregation and do what God has called us to do in making a difference here in this community? First thing we need to understand is this. A healthy church must have spiritually healthy members. Notice what Paul said. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice how Paul describes the believers in Philippi? What did he do? He called them saints. Saints. Listen, they weren't perfect, but they were still called saints. We're not perfect either. But by the way, if you are a born-again believer, the Bible designates you as a saint, set apart for Almighty God. That was their position, saints in Christ Jesus. The word saint means set apart for a unique use. It can also mean holy. We need to understand something. Our place down here, you've heard me say it before, our place down here is on this earth. We know that physically. But really, our spiritual position is in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus the Lord. We need to understand that. Paul, writing in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, said this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory." We are set apart for a special use. We are set apart unto him. We are to be holy. We are not perfect. We are not without sin. Listen, a holy building, for example, isn't a perfect building. It's a place set apart for special use, like worship. We're here this morning in this place, this building, set apart for worship, to study the Word of God, to worship the God of the universe, the one who saved us and loved us and expects us to worship him on a regular basis. So the Philippians were saints because they were in Christ Jesus. Through their conversion, they had been set apart for Jesus. Listen, we need to understand something. To be separated to God is to be separated for a holy purpose. We weren't saved just to sit and soak and sigh on Sunday morning. We were set apart for a special purpose to Almighty God, that is, to serve him. This speaks of consecration. It speaks of dedication. It speaks of devotion to Almighty God. We need to be aware of our holy and high standing before God. We are holy ones set apart for God's purpose. You become a saint when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You demonstrate your sainthood by serving him. Notice Paul's central thought in verses 3 and 4. He said, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all." Only in Christ are we able to enjoy real unity and real joy. That's the only way we can have joy, is to be in Christ Jesus the Lord, to know that we belong to him. That's where our real joy comes from. He's the one that makes joy possible. That means we need to be healthy believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The dominant note of this whole letter is joy. It reveals Paul as radiant in the midst of the storms and stresses of life. By the way, he was in prison when he wrote this, but he still wrote with a note of joy. It reveals Paul as radiant. With Christ as our model of humility and service, we can enjoy oneness of purpose, a wonderful right attitude, a shared goal, and shared labor, a truth which Paul illustrates from his own life, one that we need to remind ourselves of if we're going to be a healthy church. If we're going to be a healthy church, we need to have a healthy respect for Almighty God. Spiritually healthy believers have a healthy respect for Almighty God, with a desire to bring honor and glory unto him in all that we do. Listen, God wants to be shown off among his people. He wants to be revealed among you and me as his people. He doesn't want apologies. I mean, listen, a man who would apologize that his wife is by his side is a very foolish individual. Any woman who would apologize that her husband is by her side is a foolish woman. And any Christian who apologizes for belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ is a very foolish and weak Christian. Listen, water is wet because that's the way water is. Wetness is intrinsic to the nature of water. You can't talk about the sky without talking about blue, because blue is intrinsic to the nature of the sky. You can't talk about the sun without talking about the sun being hot, because hot is intrinsic to the nature of the sun. It's irrelevant whether you like the idea of sun being hot, water being wet, or the sky being blue. The qualities are just intrinsic in all of those. Listen, God is glorious intrinsically. When you recognize it, He's glorious. When you don't recognize it, He's glorious. When you like it, He's glorious. When you don't like it, He's still glorious, because that's just who He is. God's glory is beyond human comprehension. It's beyond what you and I can conceive of. But it's amazing to me. God wants to be glorified in and through you and me. His glory is revealed through you and me. That's why we need to be healthy followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can magnify His name, lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving honor and glory to Him by the way we live every day. It brings honor and glory to His wonderful and holy name. We need to realize who we are and to whom we belong. And that all takes place by being in Christ Jesus the Lord, by knowing that we know that we know we have been born again, by knowing that we have been to the foot of the cross, we have pled the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for cleansing from sin and invited Him into our heart and been truly born again. And when we are born again, we begin that marvelous journey of becoming a true follower, a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He wants us to be healthy followers of Him, so that we can bring honor and glory to His name in such a way that others will see our good works and bring honor and glory to Him and have a desire to know the same Savior that we know and be saved. A healthy church begins by having spiritually healthy members. But listen, in healthy churches, leaders are servants. Paul reminds the Philippians of that wonderful truth. He referred to himself and Timothy as what? Bondservants of Jesus Christ in verse 1. Their perspective on leadership was dominated by this conviction. They provided leadership to others in the context of serving Jesus. They had been with the Philippians on multiple occasions. It's recorded in Acts chapter 16 and chapter 20, Philippians chapter 2 here in chapter 1, and 1 Thessalonians 2. In each one of those occasions, they served them in many different ways, trying to get them to be Christ-like followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deal with issues they were facing in their church and in their fellowships, trying to get them to realize that you have ought to have a healthy relationship with Almighty God, but also to be spiritually healthy, you have to have a healthy relationship with one another. And that's still true for us today. Paul was a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He addresses also the overseers and deacons and church leaders immediately after describing himself as Jesus' servant. These leaders were expected to follow the model of Christian leadership they had observed in Paul and Timothy. Church leaders today are servant leaders. Servanthood describes both attitude and actions. Healthy church leaders make other people successful. Healthy church leaders sacrifice their interests for the church's best interests. Healthy church leaders model humility in all that we do. Authoritative influence is guided primarily through serving others. Sometimes we get off base. This happened to the disciples. We think we're the only ones that have problems keeping our humility intact. I think about Mark's gospel, and when Jesus encountered a situation with James and John, two sons of Zebedee, in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 and following. They came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." You see, people today are not the first ones that had an attitude of pride, wanting to be number one and seen by everybody else. It happened to the disciples. But listen to Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right and on my left is not mine to give, but is for those who have been prepared." Hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. Oh boy, created some problems and jealousy, didn't it? That still happens today, doesn't it? When somebody thinks they've been put in a position of leadership and somebody said, "I should have been there instead of them." Well, it happened with the disciples. Calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become your great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus reminded them the true nature of servanthood. He was a living example of a servant. That example is still before us today. These were normal people. Some of them were introduced in the Bible about those who served him and how they served. I think about when he got to Philippi, he met Lydia by the river place of prayer. She was converted and became one of his disciples and followers and servants. There was the demon-possessed slave girl who was saved. The owners were using her for personal gain, and when she was saved, they got upset because they lost their income and had Paul and Silas arrested and thrown in jail in Acts 16. Instead of having a pity party, what did they do? They sang. And as I said earlier, some time ago, God must have gotten so happy he began to pat his foot, caused an earthquake, and the shackles fell off. And they were set free. The jailer became greatly afraid because if he lost his prisoners, he would have to forfeit his life. And he was about to take his own life, and Paul and Silas stopped him. And he cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Not only was he saved, but his whole family was saved. On every occasion, when they had opportunity to encounter people, what did they do? They became servants of Almighty God, sharing with them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and new life in him. Listen, if we want to have a healthy church, we need to be reminded that we are all servants of God. Every one of us is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person in this building, every person who has their name on the roll of Mount Pisgah Baptist Church needs to understand that you have a ministry, that you're ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has called you to a specific ministry, and you can be more effective in the ministry God has called you to. And I can try to do your ministry for you. God didn't call me to do it for you. I have a ministry. You have a ministry. Every one of us has a ministry. And we need to understand we are all ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to serve him. But how do we display our servanthood? How do we do it? How do we demonstrate to others our servanthood? One of the most successful fast food restaurants in the world is Chick-fil-A. I'm sure most of you have been to Chick-fil-A in Shiloh since they opened. But from the time you enter the doors, you're greeted with a warm hello and a smile. The service is quick. They do all they can to make sure your visit is pleasant. And most of us recognize good service, and we want to be the beneficiaries of good service. We recognize that it's important. It makes the difference between what product or service we consider just okay and that which is great. God says that in the kingdom, greatness is measured by our heart for service. All who enter Mount Pisgah Baptist Church ought to be greeted with a smile, with a great and gracious hello, a gracious welcome, with an attitude of how can we be of service to you? What can we do to help you out? Is there any information that you need? You see, we need to have an attitude of ministry and service to people. So everybody who comes in that door ought to be made to feel welcome and that they are loved, that they are special. That's one of the ways that we can begin to reach people with the gospel, make them feel welcome. You see, a healthy church that emphasizes the servant ministry of its membership will be identified with the four purposes of the church, which are, first of all, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Everything we do needs to be to lift up Jesus, to present him. And we do that by our attitude when we meet people. We do that with a smile. Oh, sometimes I know things are not very pleasant, but so what? We have the joy of the Lord in our heart, do we not? We need to display that on a regular basis. The second purpose is the evangelism of the lost. How can we reach lost people if we greet them with a scowl and ask to tell them we'd just be as happy if you didn't come? That's kind of the attitude they receive when we meet them with a scowl and a grumpy attitude. We need to greet them with a smile, with an attitude of wanting to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to demonstrate the love of the Lord to them when they walk through the doors of the church. The third is the edification of believers. In other words, we are to not only reach them with the gospel, But we're to make disciples who can also in turn go out and make other disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get them excited about the Lord, about learning from His Word, about becoming mature in the faith, about dealing with the issues of life. And they can go out and help others to do the same thing. And then the last, fourth purpose of the church is the expression of servant. As servants, our ministry is to make God look good. Are you making God look good by what you do every day in your life? Do you make Him look good? I may offend somebody this morning, but let me say this. Many stores don't see as many as you used to, but lots of them, most of them have. I remember growing up, some of the stores, department stores, had mannequins. Another word for mannequin is a dummy. The job of the dummy is to magnify the fashion of the store. They put clothing on the dummy, and the dummy is supposed to act as an attraction to lure customers into the store. They are to look at the clothes on the dummy and be drawn into the store. The clothes on the dummy didn't come from the dummy. The clothes on the dummy came from the owner of the store, and the owner of the store put clothes on the dummy so that folks outside would be attracted to come inside based on how the dummy looks. Do you know where I'm headed with this? I need to say much more. Listen, on our best day, I'm including myself, we're nothing but dummies. That's what we are. But what God wants to do is to dress us up. He wants to dress up you and me. That's what He's about. He's given us a new nature, given us a new life through the new birth, being born again. And He wants to dress us up, and He's saying, listen, dummy, I want you to attract people to Me, not only when times are going good, but when times are going bad. Your job is to make Me look good. God is after making sure that He looks good. If you can make the switch from being so centered on self to being centered on God, it'll make a whopping difference in how we are perceived as a church. If we seek as frail people, weak people, who are powered by the Spirit of God within us and who have a wonderful opportunity to make God look good, when we realize that, we'll begin to be on the way to being a healthy congregation when we have a desire to make God look good in all that we do. Healthy churches try to make God look good. We are servants. We have a ministry of making God look good as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was in the JCs, they had a motto that service to humanity is the greatest work of life. Listen, we ought not let any secular organization outserve us. You know what I'm saying? We ought to be demonstrators of servanthood, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're going to be a healthy church. We must have spiritually healthy members. And healthy churches have leaders who are servants. Doesn't make any difference which position you occupy. You're still a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not be a pastor or a staff person, but all of us have a ministry. And whether you sing in the choir, teach a Sunday school lesson, lead an organization, a ministry, mission group, serve on a committee, need to do it as unto Almighty God to the best of our ability with a desire to bring honor and glory to Him, to serve. What a privilege. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Not a duty, not a chore. It is a privilege. And we need to give it our best every day of our lives. And then, not only does a healthy church have healthy church members, and a healthy church have leaders who are servants. In healthy churches, grace and peace prevail in relationships. We have a word we use quite a bit called fellowship. Fellowship means to have in common. You see, true Christian fellowship is much deeper than sharing coffee and cake or enjoying some recreational activity together. True fellowships means that we have something in common. Christian fellowship, this means possessing eternal life through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And having received God's grace, which produces peace in our lives, we not only enjoy peace with God and the peace of God, we also rejoice in peace within the fellowship of believers. Peace doesn't always mean the absence of challenges or some strife or perfect calm. It means perfect fulfillment. It means complete joy. It means the complete realization of the intention of God for our lives. We need to realize we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we're to glorify God in our bodies, which are His. We belong to Him. And because of our communion with one another, we belong to one another. We're part of the family of God. And we're to have a joyous relationship, a wonderful fellowship with one another. And when people from the outside come in and see our joy and our fellowship, they will be attracted to what we have, and that will give us an opportunity to share with them the glorious love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to share with them the God's great salvation. This grace and peace has a wonderful expression. You see, grace and peace originate from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Philippians 1:2. Grace and peace are extended person to person. Paul and Timothy said, gave grace and peace to all the saints. Grace is God's spontaneous, intentional, loving acceptance. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. But we extend grace to others as well. There are no perfect people in this world. There may be some people who might rub our fur the wrong way. You heard about rubbing a fur on a cat the wrong way? Well, if your fur gets rubbed the wrong way, turn around. Let it rub the right way once in a while. You know, we're all part of God's family. And we're going to say things and do things sometimes that's going to, I may do the same thing, that may rub your fur the wrong way. Well, somebody's going to have to turn around one way or the other. But we need to realize we are part of the body of Christ. A body of believers. We belong to Him. Grace is intentional, loving acceptance. God spontaneously accepts you and me when we accept Christ. How can we do less to our fellow believers? To accept them, warts and all. And I'm glad you accepted me, warts and all. We need to do that for one another. And then peace. Peace is God's calm, trusting, restful atmosphere. God has extended grace and peace to all of us, and He expects you and me to do the same for church members sharing community with us. We extend grace when we initiate relationships with others, when we accept them as they are and wait patiently for them to mature. Some church members are easier to relate to than others. I admit that gracefully. Care for everyone, however, even people who are difficult and even challenging. We extend peace when we recognize varying levels of spiritual and emotional maturity, when we tolerate mistakes and shortcomings and give people room to grow. What does this do? This leads to a vibrant and healthy church whose people bring their Bibles to church and use them. A vibrant, vital, active, healthy church is filled with praise and sounds of joy and thanksgiving, is moving out by faith, has the wonderful sound of excited children and young people. It centers its ministry on serving people. It is filled with a quiet spirit of love for each other. It emphasizes evangelism and discipleship and involvement, and has sacrificial givers, and it will be a growing church. Healthy churches are marked by healthy relationships, demonstrating our shared life together in Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the fellowship and the acceptance I see in people here at Mount Pisgah. And we need to continue to build on that and demonstrate to people when they walk in this place how we love one another. So my challenge to all of us this morning is, what steps are you willing to take to ensure that Mount Pisgah Baptist Church is one of the healthiest churches around? I would suggest to you that it begins, first of all, with a dynamic, personal, ongoing love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. That's where it begins. And then it grows and flows out from that. What we know ourselves to be helps us to behave the way we're supposed to behave. That's why there are so many pictures of the Christian in the Bible. God wants us to be what we are already in Jesus Christ, children in God's family. He wants us to be salt and light. He wants us to be sheep following the shepherd. He wants us to be branches in a vine, plugged into the Lord Jesus Christ, nurturing our spirits and souls, maturing in the faith. He wants us to be builders, seeds, runners, soldiers, members of the body, stones, ambassadors, pilgrims, priests, debtors, and even a new creation. What a picture he paints of you and me in the Word of God as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the better we understand these biblical images of the Christian life, then we'll discover how exciting it is to be a Christian and how much the Lord wants to do for us and through us as we trust him so that others can see that Jesus really makes a difference in our lives. That we are healthy in Christ. Oh, we may have our personal problems. We all do. But when we are in Christ Jesus the Lord, we can demonstrate that we have a healthy spiritual relationship with him by our outward attitude and our outward actions, because it flows from a heart overflowing with love for the Lord Jesus and a life of thanksgiving to the God who has redeemed us. So I ask you this morning, what commitment are you willing to make to ensure that Mount Pisgah Baptist Church is going to continue to be the healthiest church we can be and get even healthier in the days ahead? What are you willing to do? What kind of commitment are you willing to make? God wants us to be the healthiest church around. Let me tell you, folks, God blesses this, a healthy relationship we have with him. I've been a part of a fellowship like that, and I'm seeing this church begin to grow toward a healthy relationship with God and with one another. And when that continues, we'll have a healthy relationship with this community, and we'll begin to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to face a challenge. Just down the road, over 600 homes are going to be built within a mile of this church. I don't know when they'll start, but when we need to have an attitude, we're going to reach people with the gospel. We need to be ready to reach out to them. And so we're going to need to demonstrate we're a healthy folk spiritually. Not perfect. None of us are. But we need to let the love of the Lord Jesus Christ flow through us and the joy of the Lord Jesus be seen in us so that we can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and see his kingdom come here on earth. This is the answer to what's going on, what's wrong with America today. We can't expect Washington and Raleigh to straighten things out. It has to come from you and me. We're the ones who can make a difference. That's why we must always strive to be a healthy church. Healthy spiritually. Yes, we're going to have problems. We're going to have difficulties. We're folk. But listen, we should never take away from the fact that we love Jesus and we're seeking to serve him and we love people. What commitment are you willing to make to be sure that we will be the healthiest churches we can be, that we might reach people with the gospel and honor God? I have a decision this morning. 630, he included me. Think about that. God included you when he reached out to you by the power of his Spirit to save you, and we need to include others as well. Would you come? If you want to make a commitment, you'll kneel here and pray and make a commitment to the Lord. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, been born again, been baptized by immersion, then you come. I'll share with you how to be a Christian. Would you come as we stand and sing?